With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. So Terry Bradshaw got some Twitter heat because he came on my show, The Herd, and he said, I wouldn't coddle Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't baby him. I just force him to play, which, by the way, Green Bay can do. And it may be the best remedy for at least 1 year because the salary cap dead money hit would be so punitive if they moved him. The reality here is Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a no-trade clause. They can send him largely wherever they want. To me, the place that makes a lot of sense isn't Denver. It's New York. The Giants have 2 first-round picks next year, 2 third-round picks, and 2 fourth-round picks. So Green Bay could get a first, a third, and a fourth just next year, and it wouldn't damage the Giants' rebuild, and it would absolutely help the Packers' rebuild. I'm more of a rip-the-Band-Aid-off guy. To me, I'd rather just move on fast, but it doesn't necessarily make great sense for the Packers, and it doesn't make great sense for the Giants. I think you could make this move at the trading deadline in October next year. You don't have to make it now, and you don't have to make it before the season, nor do you have to wait until after the season. Let's see if Daniel Jones can play. If he starts off 6-1, eliminates the turnovers. He's young, he's cheap, he's athletic, and he's winning. So Green Bay moves off Aaron, would have their own first and 2 other firsts. The Packers, historically, pretty good at drafting and developing. That also gives Jordan Love another 6, 7, 8 weeks. OTA, exhibition season, camp, 7, 8 weeks behind Aaron Rodgers. If Jordan Love's not quite ready, give him 6 or 7 weeks watching Aaron play for the Packers. With that, we bring in Chris Ballard. Used to work for the Bears as their director of pro scouting, then hooked up with Andy Reid in Kansas City. He was the director of their football operations and is now the very successful general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. So, Chris, generally, you know, you've told me this before, and I agree with this. My theory on the draft has always been, once you have your quarterback, I would trade down as much as I could. In fact, if you gave me a 10-year guarantee, no more firsts, 2 seconds, as long as one of the seconds is top 7, 8 picks, I would take that. This year, you didn't move as much. I think you made a pick later in the draft 1. This felt a little different in terms of Chris Ballard drafts. That, to me, it felt different. You went and got the same. You went and got two defensive ends early. Some said, how come you didn't address left tackle? You must be comfortable with who you have. So the people that are saying, you know, this didn't look quite like a Chris Ballard draft, you would say what?
That all of the unknown information, it's easy to move down when you've got all the information and you feel really comfortable with the depth of talent in the draft. So we didn't. We thought there was plenty of good players. But saying that, we just didn't feel the need to collect, you know, a bunch of picks from 3, 4, and 5 to move down. So if we felt at every in each round that if we liked the player that we were going to take and he had the character to match, and that's a big thing with us, Colin. I mean, like sometimes I wonder, there's times I think we're almost too hard on the character aspect of it, but it a lot of times, and just, you know, as long as I've been in the league, and when I look back at any miss that I've had and been a part of, and I've been a part of a bunch of them, usually it occurs because of some character flaw, whether it's work ethic, whether it's instincts, whether it's toughness, there's something, it's usually not talent. It's usually a character flaw. So we just said this year, we're going to be a little more conservative. And if we come across players that we know, one, are going to make us better. Two, we're at a position that we covet, which, you know, defensive front's always going to be one that we covet. And three, fit the character profile that we want, then we're going to take the player.
Yeah. Tom Telesco's a buddy of mine. He's very much along those lines. They say, I went and spent a night in their war room during the draft, the first round a couple years ago. And, you know, off to the side of the board, there's red dots and black dots for injuries off the board, character off the board. And there were some, by the way, there's some good players.
Yep.
There was a, and his theory was always takes one or two guys in a locker room, can tear it apart. It doesn't matter how good your culture is. And by the way, Parcells was very much like that. He didn't want any nonsense. I totally get that. Now you did take a player. One of your defensive ends had a little bit of an Achilles tendon problem. So, I mean, listen, you play football long enough, Chris, you get hurt. So when you take one of your early picks, had an injury history, how do you weigh that?
The talent was so high that we thought that it was worth the risk. And then when you combine that with, you know, where he was at in his rehab process, our medical information from our doctors, we had him do a bunch of work on it. And, you know, we thought Dio was a, you know, we thought he was a first round talent, and to get him at 54, we felt pretty fortunate to do. And then anytime you're able to add a disruptive player up front is hard to do in the draft, especially later in the draft. Any, you know, usually when you look at the defensive ends in this league, I'm sure you're going to get some that show up in later in the draft, but the majority of them are coming, you know, early in the draft. So when you can get a big disruptive player at 54, we just thought it was worth the risk. I'll never forget last year when we took Julian Blackman in the third round, and we got a lot of questions on the pick, and we kept wondering, because we had Julian at one point at the back end of the first round, and we ended up kind of kicking him down a little bit. But, you know, he had an ACL, and I just said, look, what's the worst case scenario when we're going to get him back? Can we live with that? And is the player good enough worth the wait? And we thought it was worth the wait.
You know, it's the draft is funny. You're seeing more and more GMs give up first round picks. I always had two basic kind of theories on the draft. I would rarely ever take a running back in the first round, but I feel like I'd almost take one every other year. Like, I do think you cannot have enough. You need about three in this league now. Urban Meyer got some heat for taking a running back in the first round, and I'm like, that whole bell cow running back thing, you got to be careful. McCaffrey's injured now. Zeke's yards per carry. So I would be so – if I was a GM, I would draft a running back 2 out of 3 years. I'd rarely do it in the first. My other takeaway has always been kind of with pass rushers, which is – you kind of break rules for pass rushers. How many on average, you just do what you got to do to get pass rushers. On average, in your life, Bears, Chiefs, Colts, how many elite pass rushers per draft on your grade board?
Whew. I would tell you two. At most in a draft.
Wow.
Where you just say, you know what? There's a no-brainer. And I want you to think back to our history. Like I look back to Chicago. So we had Alex Brown, who was a fourth-round pick, really good football player. We traded for Wale Agunlie. Jerry and Bobby DePaul, they made a great trade, and he kind of helped us and put that great defense we had in 05 and 06. And then we signed Julius Peppers for, you know, what, $100 million? And he was worth every penny of it. All right, then you go to Kansas City, and we had Tomba and Justin Houston. And Tomba was a first-round pick, and Justin was a three. And then we came here, and the cupboard was pretty dry defensively. So, you know, we had to go out, and we signed DeNico Autry, which initially we played him at the three, then we kicked him out the end, then we signed, you know, Justin Houston. So we've been kind of just piecemealing it here. And so now we're just trying to throw as much as we can at talent. We've got some other young players that we really like, and Tyquan Lewis, who played really well for us last year. We have another young rusher in Kamoko Touré, who is really talented. He's just had some bad luck with the knee. So we've got some young kids here that we think can also, you know, get into the mix. We signed Rochelle that can play a really significant role for us, that played good football in LA. And then we have Muhammad back. You can't do it with just, you got to have an 8-man rotation. I full-heartedly believe this, especially now that you're talking about an added game. You know, we're talking about 17 games, but to get through the entirety of the grind of the season and to make a real playoff run, you've got to be able to keep your snaps down on the front, and you've got to be able to play 8 or 9 guys through the course of the season and be successful. So you can't have enough defensive linemen on your football team. If you just look at the runs that have made, look at Tampa last year, when they got hot, I mean, they had a good rotation going. And I know the two top front lines guys get credit, but they weren't playing 100% of the snaps. You go back to Frisco the year before, they lost in the Super Bowl, but they had a good rotation of ends. That's one of the things we really believe in. So anytime you got a chance to take a disruptive front player, you just do it. You just take them.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free. No deposit required at all. Plus, for those folks who want a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Why do you play on FanDuel? First of all, FanDuel Fantasy, easy to use app. Take 5 seconds. Pick a new team every game. Compete for top cash payout. For new users, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. So just go to FanDuel.com/Cowherd. That pays the bill for us. FanDuel.com/Cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/Cowherd. They know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, the Carson Wentz deal for you, it's interesting. You have always been, you know, you'll pay big money infrequently, but you'll do it for the rare stars. So when you're gonna eat up some of that contract, you're having discussions with Frank Reich. This is not something you just you have a cup of coffee in the morning and do. I know your diligence. Take me to the moment, the drive home, the drive to work, the discussion, the moment when you, Chris Ballard, said, "Okay, I'm going with Carson Wentz. We're doing it." You talked me into it.
We had been having long discussions, and you know, you wish there was just like a eureka moment, like, all right, no doubt. Unfortunately, that's not how my mind works. I have got to process things over a long period of time and really think them through, and then decisions will be made when they need to be made. I mean, I've always thought that, you know, why make a decision before you have to? And let's think through all the things that the, you know, all the parameters of what goes into it, all the dominoes that are going to, you know, what the dominoes are going to be down the line, not just now, but also in 2022, 2023, and 2024. You've got to be thinking 2-3 years out on every, because it, every decision you make has an impact on your football team. And look, we dabbled around with Matt Stafford, and you know, and the Rams did a great job coming in and, you know, make it, that's the player they wanted. You know, we weren't quite there yet. And then when it came to Carson, it's a little like Philip last year. You know, Frank and Nick Sirianni had a really good relationship with Philip. He knew the offense, and it was almost a seamless transition when we brought him in. Well, I almost see the same thing with Carson here over the first month and a half, where it's a pretty seamless transition for Carson just because of his relationship with Frank, who also happens to be the play caller. And I don't think you can ever minimize how important that is, Colin. I mean, being with Coach Reed and with being with Andy for 4 years taught me a lot about offensive football and how important the play caller is in all of this. And, you know, Frank has a lot of that in him, and the quarterback has to feel comfortable with, you know, who's pulling the strings and who's pulling the trigger. And that made the trade for Carson a lot easier, because I knew there was a trust level between the two of them, and trust is everything in this league, and trust between the quarterback and the play caller is everything. Now, look, there's a lot more things that go into play. You got to protect him. You got to put enough weapons around him. But if the quarterback feels really comfortable, And the play caller feels comfortable with the quarterback, I think you got a chance, you know, for success.
Chris, you know, ideally, the owner would own, the general manager would manage, the coach would coach, the quarterback would quarterback. But we know that some quarterbacks like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, they want to say after they had great success. We know there's some owners. I mean, there's been a handful of owners that have actually played. Bill Polian told me Sunday night, he said, Jim Irsay is about as knowledgeable. He'll watch film. This is not a guy that meddles. Like, he'll come in and have an opinion. Yep. And he said, listen, he told it actually a very funny story on, I think it was Tony Dungy, Polian, Dwight Freeney. I forget what it was. No, it was Dallas Clark. And, you know, he there was a big discussion and Irsay's like, I like Dallas Clark. With Jim, because he's been doing it so long, have there been moments with you that he comes in and gives you a macro opinion and he walks out of the room and you're like, okay, I got to sleep on this again. It doesn't have to be specific to a corner's hips, you know, or a running back's pivot. It's just a big worldview on something.
So look, I'm very fortunate because it's good. It makes my job easier. Because on game day, Mr. Irsay knows what he's seeing out there. So I don't have to come in on Monday and like, there's no BS to the deal now. Like he knows what he was watching out there on the field. And so he knows if we have problem areas, there's no sugarcoating. Like, yeah, he's watching the same game I'm watching. So he knows. So that makes, and then it makes it easier from a need standpoint when, you know, he's looking at the game and he goes, Chris, we really need to address this. And he's usually right on what he's saying. Yes, I'll give you a very clear example is last year, we really liked Jonathan Taylor. And we liked him in the building, our scouts liked him, our coach, everybody liked him. And I'll never forget in the second round, we're all on a Zoom call. Every scout, everybody's on it. And all of a sudden, Mr. Irsay pops up and goes, hey, Chris, you really like Jonathan Taylor. What are you doing? Go get him. And, you know, next thing you know, we're making the trade up 3 picks to go get Jonathan Taylor.
So he just said, what you love, you did your homework, go get him.
Yeah, go get him. And I think that's, like, I think Mr. Irsay really has a special for unique players, the ones that really can change the game, because you have to have them. You know, you can't. You got to have difference makers on Sunday. And I think he saw that. He felt it from us. And he said, go get him. And that's a beautiful thing with an owner. And here's what's even better. This is not somebody else in his ear. This is him. Like, I would tell you that that's something that other places have to deal with where they're having someone in someone's ear saying something. No, this is Mr. Irsay and his knowledge of the game and his understanding of football and what gives him, you know, an advantage. And I think it's been proven over time.
Brett Veach and Andy Reid tell the story where Brett comes in with film. It's like 4 years ago on Patrick Mahomes. He said, Andy, you've got to see this kid. And so Andy looks at it and, you know, appeases him. Okay. And he comes in like 3 months later. He's like, Andy, this kid's insane. And I mean, it must be an incredible moment. You were a scout. You were in the cars. You were staying at Days Inns. You were eating at Applebee's a lot. Take me to your early career. Okay, Chris, you're in that car. You think you've seen somebody that nobody else has seen. And you just knew it. You knew, wow, it's a Big 12 guy and a bad team. Was there an electric moment for you early in your scouting career and what that feeling is like in that car? Because back then, the cell phones weren't maybe around as much. You had to go back to the hotel. Take me to your first magical moment as a young scout.
Golly, I can think of a couple. You know, I mean, like you look back, like there's times I miss those days on the road. I can't remember how many nights I got in the Marriott, but it's incredible. I mean, it's incredible how many total nights I have. And So I'm gonna give you two. So I leave training camp, and Texas is freaking hot. Like, it's hot. And then when you hit August, it is like you're sweating even when you don't want to sweat. Even, I mean, you get out of your car and you're breaking out in a sweat. And I'd gone to watch University of Texas workout, and I get in the car and I am soaking wet, but I had just watched a corner through drill work that was incredible. I was like, man, this freaking kid can move, and he's got everything you want. Everything, he fit us to a T. He's got great ball skills. He's got instincts. Hey, he has a great season. He goes to the combine, and I think he runs 4.74 at the combine. And we go to his pro day, and he runs again, like 4.69. So I go back, and this is before Twitter, before, you know, information was out there, but nothing like it is now. Like, it would have instantly killed this kid. So I go back with, God rest his soul, Daryl Drake. We had just hired him as a receiver coach. And Daryl and I go, and I remember looking at Daryl and going, this is how you, when you like a player, this is how we get the right 40 time on him. And I hit that clock at about 38 yards and got him at 4.54. And it was Nathan Vasher. He ended up going to the Pro Bowl for us in Chicago and was really a good player. And then the other one was Chris Harris, who was at Louisiana Monroe. I'll never forget, we were at La Tech early in the day. I'd scouted him. He had one game that against LSU that I thought was incredible. And during the season, and we were at La Tech in the spring working out a bunch of guys, and he was having his pro day the next day. I mean, that night, and only about four or five of us drove over to the workout. And, you know, we ended up drafting him in the late sixth round, and ended up being an integral part of our, you know, defense in Chicago.
And so back then, when you first started this, there just wasn't as many college football games even on television. It just was hard to get video of guys. If you go back and watch the draft at ESPN in the 80s, the reality was they didn't have video on a lot of the players.
It was like, my wife would gripe all the time because we were still watching on beta machines. So I had a closet just stacked with these beta tapes. I mean, it was crazy. And Jerry Angelo was outstanding. And Jerry was an unbelievable teacher. I mean, that's where watching, you know, like really learning to watch tape and identify the traits of successful players. And so during the summer, we would have to make these time codes, like I get freaking convulsions thinking about all the work, but we would have to timestamp the in and out of every play to make these cut up tapes of good and bad of players. So I would take all summer, all our scouts would in Chicago, and we just had, they would ship boxes of beta tapes to our house to watch these. And then then downstairs in Chicago, we had a room with all these tapes of players, their profile tapes made up for years. Technology and information is a lot more prevalent than it is today than it was then.
You know, Carson Wentz to me has more of an Andrew Luck personality than a Peyton Manning personality, or certainly more than a Philip Rivers personality. That's what it feels like to me. Little understated, not as verbal, bright kid. What did you know about his personality before you got him in the room?
Well, I mean, look, I've got a guy that coached him for 2 years and was a part of the process of drafting him. So that was a real advantage. And then his college coach was Craig Bohl, who's now at University of Wyoming, who recruited me to University of Wisconsin. So I had an inside there into who he was. And then North Dakota State also, you know, still had some coaches there that were connected with. But at the end of the day, Frank, and I just have a lot of trust in Frank. I mean, this guy, our head coach is outstanding, Colin. I mean, he gets it. He played in the league for 14 years. He's brilliant, smart. He's got great emotional intelligence. I mean, I thought that was the one, like Coach Reed always thought had high level emotional intelligence. And I think most great leaders have high level emotional intelligence. And I think Frank does too. And he's just got a great way about him. you know, dealing with the quarterback position. So, you know, his insight. And then when you watch the tape, there's a lot of good tape on Carson Wentz. I mean, I say this all, I mean, I've said this a few times, Colin, but quarterbacks, like, you wish all of them came into the league and just lit the league up and never had any struggles. But there's a point when they got to stand on the abyss and not jump. And, you know, that's, we can't let Carson jump. And I don't think Frank will. He didn't play good last year. I think Carson admits that he didn't play good last year. I mean, I don't, and I think Carson would tell you the same thing, that, you know, don't put the blame on everybody else. I mean, we all had our hands in, you know, what happened, you know, back in, you know, last year in Philly, for whatever reason, you know, he was a part of that. But it doesn't mean we still can't see the good and the greatness of what's in him. And we believe it's in there. And we believe, you know, that over time, we'll get him to play at that level again.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's you have very much, you guys remind me a lot of Green Bay. You're not going to mortgage your future. You're not going to, I mean, there's a certain constitution to the way you do business that, frugal is probably the wrong word, but you use great discretion on character, personality. Not every free agent attracts you. But hey, sometimes you get stars and they're human. Yep. And I look at the Green Bay situation, and I've said this with Aaron Rodgers. It's very possible, it happens in marriages, they've outgrown each other a little. He's California progressive. you know, he's date celebrities. He's on the front of fitness magazines. And this is a Midwest organization that's the IBM, that's a proud organization. And it's easy to blame the Packers or blame Aaron. But there are times that people outgrow each other. And I asked Bill Polian, I've asked two or three GMs about this. You know, day of the draft, Aaron comes out, stuff leaks. And I think to myself, good God, what do you do? But go back to your career. If you ever had players that you loved, be it Chicago, Kansas City, or the Colts, and it's just like, hey, they've grown, we don't fit, it used to be perfect. Is that something you monitor and realize not all marriages are, you know, Joanna Woodward and Paul Newman? They don't all go 60 years, right?
Yeah, that's normal. And, you know, I just look, you at the end of the day here in Indy, what we try to do is really communicate. And I don't ever, like, if we have an issue, I blame myself for not communicating. And usually most of my screw ups have been because I haven't done a good job communicating. And Frank is outstanding at it. I like to think I'm pretty good at it too. But we have the standard that we have for the way we're going to do, the way we're going to play, the way we're going to practice, the way we're going to prepare. That is what it is. And I think we've brought our young players here that have grown up with us, understand the standard and demand the standard. Like that has to be, and that has to come from the locker room. Like Frank and the staff can beat down on it, but for the team to be good, it has to come from the locker room. But then we have to constantly be in communication at all points about what's going on, what they, you know, and don't ever let it become it can be a bump in the road. Don't let it become a giant pothole that we can't get out of. And that usually comes back to us just communicating with our players at all points. It doesn't mean that we're giving in, or it doesn't mean we're no. It's just about communicating and working through any issues that we have. And I have a lot of, I talked to our team on Thursday for the first time this year, very briefly. And I made sure, I just have a lot of trust and faith in the players that we've brought in the building, that I think they understand that we're going to do everything in our power to get them better. That's our job. We want to do everything we can do to get you to your ceiling as a player, because that's going to help them financially. But on the flip side of that, you got to give us back something too. This can't be a one-way street. And the way you work and way you come together as a team is important for winning. Like I still, like Colin, team still wins. I mean, it just does. Teams still win. And it's the teams that can come together, stay healthy, get a little luck on along the way that win in this league.
You know, for as steady as the Colts have been since you've been here, you have had two of the toughest moments in the league as a GM. You have a coach, he backs out. Thank God you have a great backup plan. And then Andrew Luck retires. And these are like, they don't happen. This isn't stuff you go to college for. You don't Andy Reid's smart. He can't teach you that. The moment of the Andrew Luck thing, that night, did you sleep? Can I just ask you, did you sleep that night?
So I care deeply about Andrew. Still do. Still very close with him. And like a player's health and well-being long-term, it's important to us. It's important to me. I can't operate. We're judged by our wins and losses. That's how we're judged. But on the flip side of that, I cannot be emotionally tied. That's just who I am. Like I can't change who I am. So I was extremely close with Andrew. So I understood. Did I like it? Absolutely not. I got this beautiful quarterback that is just, he's a top two or three guy in the league. And, you know, we're about to, and we think we got a really good freaking young team and about to freaking take off, and we get thrown a curveball. Well, that's just, that's life. I'm explaining it to my children and telling them that, you know what? Nobody cares about the problem. All they care about is if you try to, if you fix it. That's what our league's about. Now, did I have some moments where, you know, I'll tell you this, Colin, I never had a moment where I felt sorry for myself. And I never had a moment where I let the organization feel sorry for themselves. We were going to just keep moving forward and problem solve and try to fix the problem. And that's all you can do. I mean, it just works out. If you just keep working at this and keep doing things the right way, it's going to work out. I mean, that's part of, that's, problems happen. You got to fix them. Keep moving forward.
By the way, Phillip Rivers last year really outperformed. I mean, hell, he gave Buffalo fits. Was there a moment last year with Phillip Rivers that you were sitting there maybe after a game with Frank having a cold one and you thought, shit, this old dog can still hunt a little. This guy can still play.
It will go down as one of the highlights of all the years I've been in the league, being around Phillip for a year. Tom told me that. Telesco told me. He said, Chris, you're gonna love him. And all right, so we got COVID going on. So I don't actually get to meet Phillip till like June, till he finally gets here, him and his family. And it's very brief. My wife and I drove over to his house just to say hello. And, you know, and then we get to training camp and, you know, we got all these COVID rules and we can't be around each other. And, you know, we're all wearing masks. We're all social distancing. We're doing Zoom meetings. But as the season went on and, you know, we had a little bit of a rough start, but I could just see the team's confidence in Phillip growing. And look, that's because of him. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback in my mind, unequivocally. He's a special leader and special teammate. As the season went on, you could just see the confidence in the team building on the way he played. And I mean, Colin, the guy's toe, I mean, it was I went in the training room, the thing's black and blue. Most people aren't playing. Dude, he don't even miss a freaking beat. He don't practice on Wednesday for a couple weeks. And he finds a way to play. And he's one of the truly all-time special players to play in this league. What fun. He could still play, Colin. I think Phillip probably could have. I mean, first, number one, because he believes it. Like, that's half the battle. Like, he believes he can still play. And two, he's so freaking smart. Like, you can't fool the guy. You can't fool him. And he's just seen so much football. He could still play and find a way to be productive. That's how special Phillip was. And let me tell you where I was really proud of him, you know, cause it's hard. This game's hard to walk away from. And, you know, and we had a great talk after the season. I said, look, dude, you take your time and you figure out what you want to do and what direction you want to go. And, you know, when he decided to retire, and I thought retired on a really good note to his career, I was very proud of Phillip.
Yeah. He's funny. He's one of those guys, if you mic'd him during a game, it could be a TV show. That could be a network television show. He is for as nice a guy as he is and all those kids, he is a trash talker. He and Larry Bird.
Hey, look, when he entered between the lines, he gonna try to rip your throat out. And he doesn't cuss. Look, he is competitive and he is out there to win. He's out there to win every drill and every game. And what made this year probably even a little more special was, and it sucks because our fans really didn't get to know him, you know, because of COVID and we were so limited, but the games on the road last year, when we went on the road and there's no fans in the stands and you could hear him, like I'd be upstairs and you could hear him. And it was just, it was great. Cause usually, you know, when you're in a box, you can't hear that kind of stuff, but you could hear him. And he just loved to play.
Chris, I am a I love the draft. I've said outside of the Super Bowl and conference championships, I could watch the draft and have as much fun as watching a game. I do mock drafts. They're ridiculous. Do you ever, I'm already looking at mock drafts, the corner from LSU, Stingley, the pass rusher from Oregon, the quarterback, you know, I mean, I'm already into it. Do you ever, because you do this draft well, do you ever look at mock drafts? I mean, is there ever a time you're like, I just want to open this crap up. I just kind of want to see what people are thinking. Not to be influenced, but just eyeballs on it. I want to see what they say.
Well, look, I got five kids and I got two boys who are always looking at it. So they're peppering me all the time. Like, well, this site, as you taking him? Nope, not taking him. Why not? So I'm not going to tell you I never look at it. Do I agree with it all the time? Probably not. But with my family and my children, especially my two boys, you know, they're 16 and 13. They look at it and they're giving me feedback at all points of how I've screwed it up. And my thinking is all jacked up because the mocks don't have it the way I have it.
What when you took Darius Leonard and people went, oh.
Oh, no. It was even better. The other night after we took Dio, Cole, my oldest son, texted me, goes, Dad, they're killing you on Twitter again. I said, good. That's how I like it.
Chris, it's great seeing you again, buddy. I love it. Congrats on everything. Can't wait for camp.
All right.
All right, man.
You got me on.
You bet. All right, you know the drill. At The Volume Sports, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Rate, review, and subscribe. We also have a YouTube channel, At The Volume Sports. I love when GMs tell stories. You know, they've all been scouts. You don't go to college and major in general managering. I love their stories. This year was so strange for the draft because there were no car rides and hotels. You had to do so much of this off highlights. And I think the results, the teams that do their homework will really separate this year from the teams that did not. Talk soon.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.